The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University, California. I am your host, Mr. Sleep, and welcome to Clawing Through the Mask, the show where I look into the true stories that keep you up at night. Psycho, or as Oxford Dictionary says, a psycho is a psychopath, which means, I guess you can say that means someone who has a serious mental problem who may act in a violent way without feeling sorry for what they have done. Using this definition, today we're going to be talking about Psycho, and the 1960 movie directed by Alfred Hitchcock, a psychological horror thriller film. Now, the screenplay was based on the 1959 novel of the same name by Robert Bloch. The film stars Anthony Perkins, Janet Leigh, Verna Miles, John Gavin, and Martin Balsam. The plot centers on an encouraged between on-the-run embezzler Marin Crane and shy motel proprietor Norman Bates, and its aftermath, in which a private investigator, Marin's lover Sam Loomis, and her sister Leela investigate her disappearance. Psycho is now considered one of Hitchcock's best films and is arguably his most famous work, and has been praised as a major work in cinematic art by international film critics and scholars due to its slick direction, tense atmosphere, impressive camera work, memorable score, and iconic performances. Psycho is often ranked among the greatest films of all time. It set a new level of acceptability for violence, deviant behavior, and sexuality in American films, and is widely considered to be one of the earliest examples of the slasher film genre. For those of you who want to know a little bit more about Psycho, Psycho is based on Robert Bloch's 1959 novel, Psycho, loosely inspired by the case of convicted Wisconsin murderer and grave robber Ed Gein. Both Gein, who lived only 40 miles from Bloch, and the story's protagonist, Norman Bates, were solitary murders in isolated rural locations. Each characters both had deceased domineering mothers, had sealed off rooms in their home as a shrine to them, and dressed in women's clothes. Gein, on the other hand, was apprehended after killing only twice. We're going to be talking about both of his murderers today, in this today's episode, and we're going to go a little bit more into the backstory of Ed Gein. Edward Theodore Gein, also known as the Butcher of Plainfield or the Plainfield Ghoul, was an American murderer and body snatcher. Gein's crimes, convicted around his hometown of Plainfield, Wisconsin, gathered widespread notoriety in 1957 after authorities discovered that he had exhumed corpses from local graveyards and fashioned trophies and keepsakes from their bones and skin. Gein also confessed to killing two women, tavern owner Mary Hogan in 1954 and hardware store owner Bernice Warden in 1957. We're going to be talking about those two killings right now. On the morning of November 16th, 1957, Plainfield hardware store owner Bruce Warden disappeared. A Plainfield resident reported that the hardware store truck had been driven out from the rear of the building at around 9:30 a.m. The hardware store saw few customers the entire day. Some area residents believe that this was because of the deer hunting season. Bernice Warden's son, Deputy Sheriff Frank Warden, entered the store around 5 p.m. to find the store's cash register opened and blood stains on the floor. Frank Warden told investigators that on the evening before his mother's disappearance, Gein had been in the store and that he was to have returned the next morning for a gallon of antifreeze, and sales slipped for a gallon of antifreeze was the last receipt written by Warden on the morning that she disappeared. On the evening of the same day, though, Gein was arrested at West Plainfield Grocery Store. Washoe County Sheriff's Department searched the Gein's farm hole to find any evidence of the mother's disappearance. Now, this is where it's going to get a little bit disgusting, so if you want to skip ahead, I would advise you to do so if human body parts and some of the stuff edging might disturb you. While searching on the farm, Washoe County Sheriff's Department found whole human bones and fragments, a waste bucket made of human skin covering several chair seats, skulls on his bedpost, female skulls, which some of the town sop of bowls made of human skulls, a corset made from its female torso skinned from shoulders to waist, leggings made from human skin, masks made from the skin of female heads, Mary Hogan's face mask in a paper bag, Mary Hogan's skull in a box, Burness Warden's entire head in a burlap sack, also her heart in a plastic bag in front of Gein's potbelly stove. So I guess he was a cannibal. 9 valve in the shoebox, a young girl's dress, and the vows of 2 females judged to have been about 15 years old, a belt made from the female human nipples, 4 noses, a pair of lips on a window shade drawstring, a lampshade made from the skin of a human face, and fingernails from a female from female's hands. Wow, that is that's a lot. The Washoe County deputy discovered Warden's decapitated body in a shed on Gein's property, hung upside down by her legs with a crossbar at her ankles and ropes at her waist. The torso was dressed out like a deer. She had been shot with a .22 caliber rifle and then mutilated. So, soon, we're going to go a little bit back. So, soon after his mother's death, Gein began to create a quote-unquote woman suit so that he could become his mother, to literally crawl into her skin. Dean denied having sex with the bodies he exhumed, explaining they smelled too bad. So at least he wasn't a necrophiliast. So during state crime laboratory interrogation, Gein also admitted to have the shooting of Mary Hogan, a tavern owner missing since 1954, whose head was found in his house. But he later denied having no recollection of the details of her death. So what these stories are pretty much telling me is that this guy was really sick. I guess you can say he kind of led to the creation of Texas Chainsaw, Leatherface, because if for those of you who don't know, Leatherface also wore human faces as masks. That's kind of like his entire gimmick. So I guess Ed Gein also helped inspire that movie, which I am not a fan of at all. So that's kind of weird. So, also going back to the article I'm reading through right now, it says that the character, as we all know probably, Patrick Bateman, in the 1991 novel American Psycho and its 2000 film adaptation, to Gein, saying, "You know what Ed Gein said about women? He said, when I see a pretty girl walking down the street, I think 2 things. One part of me wants to take her out, talk to her, be real nice, and treat her right. The other part wonders what her head would look like on a stick." That's one of the main scenes, because as we all know, Patrick Bateman's also a psychopath, because it's called American Psycho. And he also shares very realistic traits to Ed Gein, not in that he dresses up as a woman, but he also just abuses and kills women a lot of the time. Sadly, I won't be talking about American Psycho on this podcast, since I could only do one on each character, and I wanted to talk about Psycho since it is such a cult classic. Going back to Psycho's release, Psycho had been rated and unrated several times over the years by the MPAA, our favorite people in the world. Upon its initial release, the film received a certified stating that it was quote-unquote approved under the simple pass or fail system of the production code in use at that time. Later, when the MPAA switched to a voluntary letter rating system in 1968, Psycho was one of the number of high-profile motion pictures to be re-rated with an M rating. Remained the only rating the film would ever receive for 16 years, and according to the guidelines of the time, M was the equivalent of a PG rating. Oh boy. So people are taking their kids to see this. In 1984, amidst a controversy surrounding the levels of violence depicted in PG-rated films in the VCR era, The film was reclassified to its current rating of R. So, going back to Psycho as a whole, we're going to be talking a little bit about the plot. So, for those of you who haven't seen Psycho, I'm going to just give a quick rundown of the plot. So, pretty much, it's during a Friday afternoon. Real estate secretary Maren Crane and her boyfriend Sam Lewis discuss their inability to get married because of Sam's debt. Maren hurriedly trades her car en route, arousing suspicion from both the car dealer and California Highway Patrol officer. Maren's sister Lila arrives. This is after she's been disappearing in Fairview a week later, telling Sam about the theft and demands to know her whereabouts. He denies knowing anything about the disappearances. A private investigator named Arogast approaches them, saying that he has been hired to retrieve the money. Arogast updates Sam and Lily about the search and promises to meet them within an hour at Sam's house. After he enters the Bates home and to search for Norman's mother, the shadowy figure emerges from the bedroom and stabs him to death. At the police station, a psychiatrist explains that Norman killed his mother and her lover 10 years earlier out of jealousy. Unable to bear the guilt, Norman mummifies his mother's corpse and begins treating it as if she was still alive. He recreated his mother as an alternate personality, as jealousy and possessive towards Norman as he felt about his mother. When Norman is attracted to a woman, his mother's side takes over. He had killed two other missing young women before Marion and Arogast. The psychiatrist concludes that mother was now submerged Norman's personality. Norman sits in a jail cell and hears his mother saying the murders were all his doing. Marion's car is retrieved from the swamp. And that is the end of the movie. Now, there's a lot more going into it, but I'm just giving a quick rundown since I think everyone listening to this, if you haven't seen Psycho, should definitely go and see it. So, another thing that really makes Psycho so great was a lot of the sounds and score and the iconic shower scene in Psycho. I would also agree that Psycho does have a very great soundtrack. The score is written by Bernard Herrmann. Written the score for Psycho despite the composer's refusal to accept the reduced fee for the film's lower budget. That's another thing that people really like about Psycho is the actual sound and music to it, which I would also agree plays a very big role in the success of the movie. Also, to continue, we're going to go into its later, many years later actually, into the film's history later after the release. So it wasn't until 1992 the film was deemed quote-unquote culturally, historically, and aesthetically significant by the United States Library of Congress and was selected for preservation in the National Film Registry. In 1998, TV Guide ranked it as number 8 on their list of the top 50 greatest movies on TV and video at that time. So, Psycho has also appeared on a number of lists and websites as one of the best movies and horror movies of all time. And in 2012, the Motion Picture Editors Guild listed the film as the 12th best edited film of all time based on a survey of its memberships. Psycho is ranked number 8 in BBC's 2015 list of the top 100 greatest American films. Psycho has become one of the most recognizable films in cinema history and arguably Hitchcock's best known film. I guess you can say that this film was very great to Hitchcock, and everyone says this is his best work. And I would say his best work. It says 3 sequels were produced after Hitchcock died: Psycho 2, Psycho 3, Psycho 4, The Beginning, and last being a part prequel television movie written by the original screenplay author. The sequels received mixed reviews and were universally considered inferior to the original. That's how a lot of movies go these days. The originals just can't beat the originals. Psycho, forever going to be with us. People seem to like it. It did get a lot of mixed feelings on the rating, just like how Exorcist was given a lot of many other films. But I feel like Psycho has still, even with all those mixed reviews, it still is considered one of the best movies ever made. And I would agree with that. I recently rewatched it for the second time, the second time last week when I was doing my research for this. And I will, in fact, say that Psycho is one of my favorite horror movies. I will say that will be it for this episode. I am your host, Mr. Sleep. And thank you again for listening to Clawing Through the Mask.